Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart.
Radio buzzing of life, 657 AM.
With Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Reminds me of when I was young. Yo, took me back to those years. That is awesome. Coming there from Sons of God, Sibongiseni Mbele on the lead. And Sibongiseni is with Sandile Cele on the lead, Sons of God. And the title of the song is Sons of God, and the group is Sons of God. And it's made up of Sibongiseni Mbele and Sandile Cele. And before that, Infinite, and the song Able God. 18 minutes it is, just after 2. I'm now joined by Pastor Lucas Nkosi. Murudi, do you remember that song? I think when I was very young, Semi Ralekhulela used to sing that song, the late Semi, the father to Sello Ralekhulela used to sing that one. So not Ralekhulela, Maliti, Muruti. It means I love Muruti, Ralekhulela and Semi. No, Semi Maliti. Yo, Semi Ralekhulela should live and continue to live. Yeah. And so there's a lot.
Long way to go.
Muruti. Why, you know, so today in J.I.I.I.I. Radio Pulpiti, Ikumbuleza Gutala. But now this one is made with a twist because it's Sibongiseni Mbele and Sandile Cele. And before we also had Pastor Phil Madua. I think those who grew up with Pastor Phil Madua will remember that song, Praise, before it was recorded.
Yeah, before it was recorded, you know, it was an anthem.
It was an anthem. Muruti, how are you?
I'm well, and you, Sis Bongile?
I'm blessed of the Lord. Let's not give out our age, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Muruti, you know, last month there was a lot that was happening. So we had to pause on the topic that we have started with you, a house of prayer for all nations. We had to pause, put a pause on it because there was a lot that was happening with the CRL. And today, as I was talking to Tatu Molo, Reverend Molo, Mzandile Molo, from the SACC, I'm like thinking of the CRL. I'm thinking of everything that's happening and saying, oh, so it's an awesome time to call the body of Christ, because what it's all about now, it's the SACC saying that as people of faith, we cannot be indifferent to what's happening in our nation. We cannot be silent as well. And as the church, we need to pray, but also speak the truth and act as an agent of transformation towards the South Africa we hope for and we are praying for. Gathering all saints to say Ozani, Ozani, for a day of ecumenical, an ecumenical day where the service is also going to be held. But there are also dialogues that will be held, open discussions. And I see Pastor Lucas featuring somewhere there. You cannot miss this one, Muruti. No. You cannot miss this one. It will be criminal to do so. and you are also challenging us with the same topic, the one that we are discussing today, a church being a house of prayer, and also not just the house of prayer, but for all nations. Just a little bit, take a step backwards quickly, Muruti, so we can come into today's discussion.
The word of God in Isaiah 56, verse 7, God is saying, you know, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And then in the New Testament, when people were selling, you know, in the temple, Jesus comes into the temple, finds people selling and so on. But the main reason why that house, that temple was built, yeah, was not taking place, actually, then he was overturning tables, you know, cracking a whip here and there, you know. And then the word of God says, and the zeal for the house consumed him. And one of the things, you know, he was saying, moved by that zeal for the house of the Lord, he said, no, didn't you know that, you know, the word of God says, it is written that my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. So he was repeating, you know, what Isaiah the prophet was saying. But something interesting is, like, even at the dedication of that temple, you know, day one of dedication, when Solomon the king dedicating it to say, this is what must take place in the temple. And then it was all about prayer. And Solomon was saying, the reason I'm dedicating it, so that when people come here with their needs, with their challenges, to the house of prayer, hear them from your house and so forth. It's as if then after God has heard what Solomon said, then he said, okay, by the way, this is my house dedicated by Solomon. And then where prayers must take place, then he's speaking through Isaiah the prophet to say, hey, my house, God has taken ownership of what was dedicated to him. To say, hey, my house, house of prayer for all nations. So now with time, then when Jesus came, so people saying, something is happening in the house that was dedicated to God, so that it should be a house of prayer. But now what is happening? It's not aligned to the very purpose why this house was set in motion. And the Bible's talking about us, you know, is saying we are being built into this giant house, you know, which is the house of the Lord, built, you know, by living stones, the house where God will dwell by his spirit and so on. And still, it's still the house of God. But something that is interesting, even previously when we had this conversation, was to say, God is saying, my house is, you know, will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So the question is, if, you know, these buildings that we call the houses of God, you know, where we fellowship as the church, and then we are saying these houses belong to God. Now, if prayer is not taking place in such places, the question would be, whose house is that? Because God is saying, if this building that you are calling my house is to be my house, then prayer must be like the culture, must be the lifeline. It, you know, prayer must be something that this house is known about. You know, when people pass by the way and so on to say, let's point to this building, the reputation of what is the house of God should be a prayer. And not just prayer, but prayer for all nations. It means in the house of God, you know, the bigger activity is that must take place is prayer and praying for nations. And we've learned from 1 Timothy 2 that why prayer should be made for every person, you know, is so that we live a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness. And it says now, so that people should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Meaning, as we continue praying for people, praying for nations, then we are opening the room, you know, for the salvation of many, and also for people to come into the knowledge of the truth. So it all starts in the house of prayer. And what must happen in the house of prayer is praying. But it's unfortunate, you know, that we are busy with all these other things. I mean, even look at, you know, those moments, you know, where we are saying there's a call for prayer. Maybe prior to services, where you say we are having an intercession prayer. And check how many of us show up, you know, for those prayer meetings, even intercession prayer, a smaller percentage of us show up. Whereas prayer, it should be, you know, rightfully, it must take a bigger chunk of the activities that we do in the church. Because we are saying this is a house of God. And if it's the house of God, then prayer must take place.
if it's the house of God, then prayer must take place. So where are we heading to today when we are going to, because this is our part two.
Yeah, now something interesting in, hey, you know, this has become even my favorite chapter in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, from 1 to 6. Now, during the reign of Darius, we learn that the first thing that Daniel did in that reign, he says, I understood by the books, as he was reading the books, you know, that God promised that the captivity to Babylon will take 70 years.
Okay.
And the 70 years were passing. By the way, it was the promise of God. The 70 years was the promise of God. But 70 years, then God extended. You know that thing to say, but no, God said it. God, you know how we receive prophecies. God said it. And we are like, God, we're rushing into the promises of God to say, but God, you said this in your word.
Yes.
You know, referring to his promises that he made to us. Now, Daniel, you know, it's like time is lapsing. You know, 70 years is passing. Yet the promise of God about 70 years did not happen. So the Daniel had questions to say, but Lord, you made a promise. Is there in the book of Jeremiah that 70 years are going by, the promise is not happening. What is wrong? And that says to us, just because God said it, it doesn't mean it will happen.
Okay.
Because if that was the case, when 70 clocked to say, aha, 70, they could have gone. But 70 went beyond. And yet what God promised never happened. The question was, where is the problem? What is happening? Has God failed his word? And the answer is no. What we need to know is that even if God has made promises about certain things, we need to play our part in making sure that we do our part so that they come to pass. And then something interesting that Daniel did, after learning about the prophecies, and it says, I learned by the book, not by the verses. And even that time, there was no verse in the Bibles, you know. In the, you know, because then they were using your Old Testament, the Torah and the prophets and so on, the Old Testament books. So learning from the book of Jeremiah the prophet to say, oh, the 70, he got it from the book of Jeremiah. So 70 is overlapping to now extra years. What's happening? And he said, I learned from the books that all the years were 70. Then when you go to the next verse in verse 3, it says, now, Daniel took a position now to say, then I approached the Lord in prayer, to seek the Lord in prayer concerning this. So what he has learned from the word of God, from the prophecies that God spoke through Jeremiah the prophet, led him to prayer. Meaning, once we know what God has said, then we are better positioned to pray. Because there's no praying without the word of God. You know, the word of God precedes praying, you know. And so that says we first need to know what the word of God is saying. And from the knowledge of what the word of God is saying, bring that word to God in prayer.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what Daniel did. He brought the word. And now, because he was studying the book to find out, to say, okay, this is the situation. One of the things he realized by studying the book is, you know, the likes of Jeremiah chapter, I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 11. I'm reading from verse number 9.
Yeah. Jeremiah 11, verse 9.
From verse 9 and then until verse 11. Here's an interesting one. It says, and the Lord said to me, he's talking to Jeremiah, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers who refused to hear my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them. the house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I have made with their fathers. Now here's a scary one, verse 11. Therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. You remember our favorite verse, your Jeremiah 33, verse 3, you know, as we are growing up, to say, hey, telephone to heaven, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, hey, call unto me, I will answer, show you great and marvelous things that you know nothing about. But before we go there, here's the Jeremiah 11, from verse number 9. Now, the scary one, verse 11, there said, therefore, thus is the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. It sounds like an opposite of Jeremiah 33, verse 3. To say, hey, I won't listen to you. Even if you can cry, cry all you like, I will not listen. Yet in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, call unto me, I'll show you great. What's happening? So God is expressing to say, why is it that even when we cry, you know, he will not listen?
Yeah.
It's because of these gods. We refuse to hear his words, like Israel refused to hear his words, and they've gone after other gods. They're going after other gods and not listening to the word of God. Puts us in a position where even when we cry unto the Lord, he doesn't listen. You know, although like in 33 verse 3 says, call unto me, I'll answer. Meaning there are things, until we deal with this aspect of the gods and not paying attention to his word, we must forget about calling him and him answering, showing us great and marvelous things. And now you look back at Daniel, learning. This is part of what he was reading as well as he was learning by the books. Say, oh, then among those things he was reading even earlier than that, if you check also, especially then Deuteronomy 28, where God was telling them, if you won't listen to me, this is what you're going to experience. This is, and prophets came, you know, to say, to warn them, to say, don't do this, don't follow these ways. They did not listen. And then Daniel took responsibility in that posture of prayer to say, I see prophecies not happening. I see the promises of God not happening to us. Where could be the problem? And because of studying the books, he had a full counsel of what the word of God is saying about the situation. He was feeling like we are stuck in Babylon when we are supposed to move from this place of captivity and go back to Jerusalem. What is happening? Why are the prophecies not happening? But by studying the books, he even located the problem. And one of those problems is not listening to the word of God, following other gods. That's why he positioned himself in prayer to pray to say, Lord, the problem is not with you. I'm paraphrasing. The problem is on our side and our forefathers. We did not listen to, you know, your prophets, you know. And then he's quoting even Moses when he told us that if we don't listen to you and follow other gods, these things are going to come our way. Then he had to pray that prayer of repentance. And then from that position of repentance, because, you know, he took a posture of an intercessor. You know, when you pray as an intercessor, most of the times we pray a certain kind of praying and we think it's intercession. Maybe we're petitioning God about something. Because once you are an intercessor, you become that person. You don't blame game to say, no, Sbanbani, Ewenzizona, or Sbanbani, Wenzani. You take that posture, no matter how righteous and good you may be, you take a position of a sinner to say, no, problem, Lord, is not in you failing, you know, to fulfill your promises. The problem is with us. We did not listen to your word. We followed other gods. And then he listed in that prayer, that prayer, then once he confessed the sins of, you know, himself and the sins of Israel and Judah to God, then God responded. And in response, then God was responding to say, okay, this is what is going to take place. But before, there was no response. He had to go to the record of the word to locate where is the problem. You know, yes, the promises are there, but why are we not experiencing them? Because even in our times, most of the times, that's why some prophecies, although they are true, you know, they were spoken by genuine prophets, we've been wondering, no, but I feel like I'm stuck, yet I bear such great prophecies in my life. If you can go to the word of God, it's not only the promises of God that are there. There are issues. You know, the conditions, and the condition here was you did not listen to my word and you followed other gods. We must check whether are we following the principles of the word of God in our personal life, and as well as have we not followed other gods. And by other gods, it's not like statues somewhere we are bowing to statues and so forth. Anything in our lives that take the place of God takes our attention away
social
from
media,
God.
Social media,
that, you know, that's a God that is taking, you know, our time from God. You know how we used to be. You remember our first love for the Lord when we were on fire for God. When prayer meetings were an in thing. It's like, hey, songs like I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But to nowadays, it's a burden to go into the house of the Lord. It's a burden to go to prayer meetings, you know, and even if we you know, a call can be said, but Christel, let's come in for prayer, which is the main reason for the house of God to be there. We beg, but not like when we got saved. You know, when was the first time we received the Lord? That passion, that first love, you know, is gone because there are things in our lives. And some of the things are the things that we receive from our praying. Things like our success. Now that we are successful, now that we are living in good houses, now that we are married. Now, all these things that God gave to us have taken his place in our lives, you know, as the church. And they serving the Lord, having time for the Lord, having time for the word of God, like we used to, is burdensome. We have patience for everything. Let's organize a braai in the church or whatever fun and thing. Every program that
laughing.
We like, you know, in our church will come in numbers. You know, you remember even in the book of Acts. They started in praying and so on. You study chapter 2, even in chapter 3. You remember that man, you know, he was by the gate, you know, seeking for alms. And the Bible says it was in the hour of prayer, you know. And in that hour of prayer, Peter, you know, and John, then they said, man, silver and gold, we don't have, you know, we don't have something to give you.
Just hold it right there. Okay, I was about to take a family member who was calling in. I can see that the family member is saying, you are talking to me right now. Okay, Murut.
Yeah, so in the hour of prayer, that's when that miracle happened. And they did not camp there. They took him to the church because they were coming for prayer, you know, on that day. But guess somewhere in chapter 6. Where food parcels were distributed, you know, and were taking a lot of time. The apostles were so, you know, about food. Even today, you know, they were fighting over food to say, hey, but the tele, you know, squabs around food. Hey, so and so, they are finding food. Hey, we are being forgotten, you know, in food distribution and so on and so on. And the time of prayer and the wait, you know, was affected by other things. They are good things, but now when they take the position of prayer and our being with God, they become a problem.
Okay, just hold it right there. Let's take a family member on the line. Hi, family, how are you?
Hi, this is Bongile.
Babunkosi, welcome.
Hey, my name is Babunkosi.
Siyaphila linjani, Babunkosi?
Hawu Jesu inkosi uyabusa.
Mm.
Hey. Ngazi ungijabulisa uma uthi uma u-intercede for isoni kufuneka uthathe
iposition. Like our Lord Jesus Christ did with us.
Yeah. Ngazi ukhumbuza u-Abigail.
Mm.
Nenkathi ayonqela indoda yakhe kuDavid.
Mm.
Mm.
Wathi iphutha libe nami.
Hey.
Ngabe angibabonanga labantu mabeza. Wathatha iphutha lendoda yakhe walithwala yena. Angibona kuyinqenye ukunqenela stroke isizwe kuDavid.
Mm.
Not Jesu. Wathatha iposition yethu.
Mm.
yokuba izoni wathwala isono ekangasenzanga kuze thina sikhona ukuthethelelwa. Yazi idiphi kakhulu lento ishoyo ukuthi angeke ngikukhulekele ngime ngaphandle. Ufuneka nibe ngaphakathi ngime endaweni yakho ngobe uma izwi likaNkulunkulu lithi who can stand at the gap? Lisho kona lo ukuthi kufuneka nime endaweni yakho but nibe mina ngiclean.
Yeah.
Nibe mina ngiclean mara ngime la endaweni yakho la wena kufanele ume khona then ngikunqusele kuNkulunkulu. Ngiyabonga.
Sure.
Amen.
Thank you, Babunkosi. Babunkosi says, I like how you spoke about us when we are interceding for somebody who is a sinner. You need to take the position of that person. And he is likening it to what Abigail did when Abigail's husband, I forgot his name, the Bible says he was foolish.
Nabal.
Nabal, which means also foolish, took foolish decisions. And when he approaches King David, she says to King David, it was my mistake. So she took the mistake or whatever sin that was done by the husband, and she stood in the gap. And she says, this is how, or this is what standing in the gap means. Yo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Muruti, what we do is whenever we pray and we saying we are interceding, we are praying from outside. Is that what we are doing? And then we are distancing ourselves from it. It's like, no, South Africa is doing this, but Father, I'm not. Lord have mercy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we pray for the nation, it means we come as the nation before the Lord. There are things that befall a nation, and when they befall a nation, it's basically disobedience to the word of God and following after God. You know, if you study the history of how we came to where we are as a nation, we've been crying, Nkosi Sikelele Africa. You know, crying, it's been a prayer, you know. Since then, but it came 1994, you know, then we are like, we have arrived at our promised land. You don't tell us about God. You know, God is a foreign thing. Mm. That is why even now, certain laws that are against the word of God, you know, issues about church. You remember back in those days, you will be having prayer meetings even in streets. A lot of churches in the streets, there was no big deal because we were crying, Nkosi Sikelele Africa. Going to church was a big thing, but not these days, because as a nation, we feel like we have arrived. We don't need God anymore. We can do it by ourselves. And that reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 8, where God says, you know, you are coming out of Egypt and you are going to the promised land. When you land there, do not forget and pride yourself by saying it is by my own might that I've acquired this wealth. He even warned them in chapter 7 that when you reach there, make sure that you don't follow other gods. You don't have images and all these things that, you know, will provoke my anger. And because the day you do that, calamity will come your way.
Yeah.
Will fall on you. We are shocked why our nation is the way it is. But if we can study historically how we came here, that it is God who brought us here. And now we have dropped him away. We have followed other strange things and strange ways. We have given up on the Lord, even not only because I'm taking it in the context of the nation, even as the church. You know, there were things that we've been doing. We have left the prayer room and entertain other things. You know, we're idolizing. I mean, it's all about us in the church these days. And us and the things we are fronting, these blessings, the things that God has given us, take more priority than God himself. We have given up even on praying for nations. And there's something about praying for nations as we pray for nations. You remember Samuel? Samuel used to pray for Saul. And I tell you, Samuel loved Saul, eh? Because the more you pray for somebody, the more your love for them, your desire to see God do great things in their life grows.
Yeah.
But now, because of we are not praying for the church, we are not praying for our pastors, we are not praying for the nation. That is why our attitude towards pastors these days is somewhere else. Our attitude towards the church is somewhere else. Our attitude towards the nation, we are so self-absorbed. We are into ourselves. Oh, so now, God says my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. We need to go back to the purpose of the house of God being praying for the nation. And the Bible says in Mark 11:24, you know, from the King James. I like it from the King James because it applies a key word there that speaks to desire. It says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and will have them. Meaning there must be desires. Things that we desire for the nation, things that we desire for our pastors, things that we desire for the church when we pray, you know, and interceding, things that we desire for the nation, come before the Lord like Daniel, you know, before the Lord to say yes, but start with ourselves. Because he had to fix that one. Yeah, so that the Jeremiah 11 issue must be addressed, where God says, you may call unto me. These gods of yours and your disobedience are standing in the way. Deal with those ones. And Daniel did deal with those aspects. And after dealing with them, God responded. And, you know, even prophecies, declarations about the future, God was revealing to say, no, you are going back. Prophecies about the future started to come back again. So that's the call, you know, to prayer, to go back to God and say, and plead on behalf of the nation, plead on behalf of the church, pray for our pastors, pray for believers, things that we don't like in the nation, and studying with ourselves that, but Lord, we disobeyed you in this and this. We've been saying, God save South Africa, Nkosi Sikelela, when we reach our freedom, you know, and then we forgot about you. You know, our pride has taken over our lives, even in church. You know, we are flagging our feet. You know, your church is a burden. You know, everything that concerns us, it's a burden because of us and our attitudes. And those are our idols, things that we idolize. You know, things that take preference, you know, above God and his word and prayer and his purpose for his house. And once we deal with those things, the Lord, then Jeremiah 33 verse 3 will apply to say, now when you call unto me, I will answer. I will show you great and marvelous things, things you know nothing about. You know, God will start to reveal. You remember even in the book of Acts chapter 13, it says they sought the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and as they were praying, then the Lord said, you know, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of call for them. Even commissioning comes from the place of prayer. Even Jesus appointing the 12, he prayed first. It was from prayer that now he even appointed the apostles. And so prayer is key. There's no doing away with prayer. And if these buildings, we call them the house of God, the reputation of those places should be prayer. We rather stop everything and measure on prayer, and we'll come back to whatever that we are doing once we have fixed this part. And then you know, as a way to challenge God to see that, Lord, if we can come back to prayer and pray and be the house of God that you have designed us to be, let us see if God will not respond back to us. Let us see if this nation will not be better, you know, than where it is now. Because the reality is, hey, we are in trouble. Calamities left and right and center. But Jeremiah said, hey, tell them, God said to Jeremiah, here's a post. Take a post to them. Tell them the issue. They've disobeyed my word, and as well, they followed other gods. And calamity is striking them, and when it's striking them, they are trying to cry to me, and I'm not listening because they haven't addressed this thing. But once we address these two issues of not following the word of God and following, you know, confessing these sins, and then aligning ourselves back to the word of God and back to God, then we can call unto the Lord and he will answer. Show us great and marvelous things, the secrets, the solutions of the issues that we are facing as a nation.
Sure, Moruti. Lenny cannot even utter words. Lenny keeps saying amen. And he is so grateful for the privilege from our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's a privilege for us to hear such a message. And he says, thank you for the privilege, Lord Jesus, dearest Abba Father, for all that you have done, even for us, even for me too, Lord. You know, Lenny is just prayerful now. He has gone into the prayer mode. And we are so grateful, Moruti. I don't think we have time to pray. I actually have a minute where Moruti can take us to the Lord in prayer. We need a part three. He is Lucas Nkosi on all social media platforms. He is reachable on WhatsApp, and you can call him on 078-910-2593. 078-910-2593. The next voice you'll be hearing is that of Germany Johan Els. Moruti, in a minute, what do we say to the Lord?
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God Almighty, forgive us, Lord, for leaving the purpose of your house and being busy with other things we have idolized. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we see our error, the error of our ways. We are turning back to you, Father, to say forgive us. In the name, forgive us, Lord, the sin of prayerlessness, and for our nation, for the church, for our leaders, Father, as you have commanded us. And Father God, in the name of you, revive the spirit of prayer. Ignite the desire, Father. Your word says it is you who works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it be unto us, Lord, according to your word, according to your promise. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless each and every one of us, Father, even as you revive us as family and the Radio Pulpit family, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. Glory, Father, we are committing back to your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
And amen.
Plug in. Feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Radio Buzzing of Life, 657 AM.
Sitshele ukuthi ucabangani. Sicela ukuzwa uvo lwakho. Ungasithinta ku gospel@radiopulpit.co.za noma usithumele iWhatsApp ku 0826572729. Radio Pulpit, umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.